In the same manner, he also took the cup after saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." We went to lunch with him, and he was really upbeat, really encouraged, even with the latest news. And just need to keep them in our prayers. Pray that God will just cause this new tumor to go away. And if it's his will, she can be healed from this. And the camp's getting ready to go into summer season. I saw somebody look into the camp brochure a few minutes ago, and just pray for him and wisdom for him, the staff, and everything that's got to happen, as well as helping to take care of Deb and the kids. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, that, Father, you have given us your word that we might study and grow. And Father, I think of Paul and Deb right now, and as this cancer has come back, and Father, we just pray that if it be your will, that it will just go away, that you will reach down and just touch her body, just heal her. Father, we pray for Paul and for all of the work that he's got going on right now at the camp and getting ready for summer. And Father, we just pray for the ministry there at Victory Ranch, that, Father, you'll just continue to bless that work. And Father, as we look into your word tonight, we pray that we will grow in our understanding of your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 29. In chapter 27, we saw that David became discouraged because of Saul's treatment of him, and that David had a lapse of faith when he left the land and went to live among the Philistines. He wasn't supposed to do that. They were dreaded enemies, and God had not given him instructions to leave, and I really think it was one of those brain lapses. They're enemies. And while David and his band lived in Gath, he became friends with a king. And in chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish." I think this is really interesting. Those who've been in the military or even seen a military parade know that when a group marches by, you can identify them by the shoulder insignia, the banner that they carry, the flag or whatever. And imagine all of the kings or all of the lords standing. We've been in parades, and all of the high-ranking guys are standing up watching everybody pass by, and here goes this group of Philistines and this group and this group and this group and this group, and pretty soon here comes David. Now, do you think they recognize that this wasn't one of theirs? Absolutely. Absolutely they recognized it, because then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here? Hey, they don't look like us. They're armed." All of these guys marching by, and one of the generals going, "Wait a minute. They don't belong to us." And it's one of those word picture things, you know. David obviously finds himself in an awkward position when the war breaks out, because he's left Saul because of Saul's treatment, and he's gone to live with the Philistines, but now they're going to battle with each other. But because of the friendship that he made with the king took him in, gave him a place to live, gave him a territory. So David's loyal to him. So you're going to battle? I'll go too. Just by chance. Oh, wait. This is a direct intervention by God, because what are the Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years?" Because remember, he was there for a period of about a year and a half. "And I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." What's wrong with letting him go to battle with us? But some of these guys, they're not as trusting as the king is. And you know, many times I think when we make wrong decisions, God intervenes on our part. You ever done that? You started to do something, and all of a sudden God says, "Nope, that's not the direction that you go. I want to do it my way." That's what David's doing. He has not done what God's instructed him, and he's doing, him and his 600 men are doing it his way, but God intervenes. And before they even go to battle, there's a problem. Wait a minute. That's David. But the king says, "He's been loyal to me." But verse 4 says, "But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men?'" David's kind of got a reputation here. Verse 5 says, "Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000?'" Now, we've seen this twice before, chapter 18 and chapter 21. The Philistines have seen the damage that David can do. And they know his reputation because they've seen it. They've seen him in action. But the king's like, "No, you know, David's on our side." "Then Achish called David and said to him, 'Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." Achish is, you know, real democratic here. They took a vote. Achish got overruled. One vote versus all the other lords. Can't go. Why? I can imagine if we were to go into battle and my troops and Don's troops and Richard's troops were all in one accord, but Stan, his group wasn't getting along very well with the rest of us. How would we do in battle? Now we're all going out. We're charging in this battle, but Stan's behind us. And we're not sure Stan's on our side. How much are we willing to risk someone we don't trust being at our backside? Not very much. I think we had better training than that. So to keep harmony in the troops, Achish is saying, "David, I know you're loyal. I trust you. But you can't go." Is that because he didn't want David to go? What would have happened to David if he would have gone out and fought against the children of his own people? If he would have turned and fought against his own people, how would God have judged him? God intervened at this point. This isn't just the kings. This is God intervening to keep David from making a very big mistake. Verse 8 says, "So David said to Achish, 'But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I might not go and fight against the enemies of my lords, my lord the king?'" Nothing, I mean, David's military career has been full of, what did I do wrong this time? You know, when you look back at his goings-on with Saul, he never gave Saul a reason to doubt him, but Saul continued to doubt him. He's been with Achish for a year and a half and never found anything wrong. Achish even admits, "You've not done anything wrong." And David's got to be puzzled at this time. But how often as Christians do we head down a path and go, "I'm sure this is what I'm supposed to be doing," and then all of a sudden there's a roadblock in the door, or in the... I always say God closed the door in my face. And we're like, "But I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Why is God doing this? Why did he do this with David?" He did it to keep David from making a mistake. And how often when we reflect back at things that God has re-diverted us on, do we realize he knows a whole lot better than us? And that sometimes the direction we want to go could lead us in a disastrous situation that maybe we don't see. Sometimes I've wondered, you know, why he's done it. And there are times I think that God diverts us and we'll never know why he did it. But we got to know that he did it for our own good. And that even if we don't know the reason, he's got a whole lot better perception and perspective of what we should be doing in our lives. And we need to let him... Oh, wait. I think I heard a song tonight about trusting in the Lord, letting the Lord direct our path. That song, that was a coincidence, right? That was just a coincidence. Thank you, Lord, you know? Whew. One of the things that we know is that when we have those lapses in faith, that we know we will not lose our salvation. But does God sometimes let us have a little bit of trouble? Mm-hmm. Be real careful when you step out of the will of God. We've talked about this before, how God sometimes is used as 2x4s or 2x6s, or some people he has to use bigger beams on to get their attention because they're not going in the path that he wanted them to. David had stepped, when he left Israel and moved in with the Philistines, he left God's will. And God intervened in his life to save him a whole lot of trouble. Verse 10 says, "Now therefore rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire." Do you ever get pictures? Maybe it's just my brain, the way it works, but as I was studying this, and I imagined David, I mean, what's he feeling right now? He's thinking, "I'm going to go to battle. I've been with Achish for this period of time, And all of a sudden he says, no, you're not going with me. Go back to the land that I gave you, the territory that I gave you. And they march 3 days back and they get home. And what do they find? Gone. The city's burned. Their wives are gone. Their kids are gone. Their livestock is gone. And they're by themselves. It says, and burned it with fire. And I got to believe that it was either still burning or smoldering in ruins. And what's David saying at this point? Can you imagine the feeling that went through not just David, but the men? What would your heart do if, as a man, if you went back home and there was nothing left? Or a woman, whoever's here, you go home and there's nothing there. It's gone. Everything burned down, gone. And not only that, but guys, Richard, Susan's not home either. Blame David. Yeah, blame David, right, sure. Because it says, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Then David and all the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now David didn't just lose his wife. He lost his wives. Because it says, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal. Now remember, when we studied this part, this is a choice bride. She was a beautiful woman. The Carmelite had been taken captive. David didn't just lose his house, his sheep, his cows. He lost both his wives. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Oh yeah, David, it's your fault. Not only does Saul want to kill him, he can't go to battle because the Philistines turn their back. He goes home and it's all gone. His wives are gone. And now the men who've been loyal to him blame him and want to stone him. Oh, woe is David. Woe is David. I mean, really, put yourself in his shoes. What's he got to be thinking right now? What is next? What does God have in store next for me? Yeah. Oh, how much more how much heavier can that burden be? The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. See, they're assuming their wives are dead. Because if you read this very closely, even though that when we look here, we don't see any bodies when they come into the city, but the men are thinking their wives are dead because it says they're grieved every man for his sons and daughters. It doesn't say wives, sons, and daughters. They're assuming their sons and daughters have been taken captive and their wives have been killed. But David, what's he do? Strengthened himself, not on his own this time, but he turned to the Lord his God. David probably at this point realizes how big a mistake he had made. Most of the time we think of David as the little shepherd boy that killed the giant, or David and his sin with Bathsheba. But many times I think we forget that he was human like us. That we make mistakes too. You know, yeah, I love the story of the little shepherd that killed the giant and cut his head off and walked around with it. That one's cool. The sin part you can keep, but David was like us. And what did he have to do? He had to turn his reliance back to the Lord. Can't do it on his own. What a great statement. We were at the state meetings a week and a half ago, and we got word that one of the pastor's son-in-law had attempted to take his life. And 2 days later, we got word that his son-in-law had passed away. And I look at this pastor over the last 2 or 3 years. There's been so many things hit his plate, his home, his personal health, his church, and now the death of his son-in-law. And I talked to someone. We shared about a friend of ours in Phoenix whose daughter, they called the family in. The daughter had cancer and was on life support, and they called the family in and said, "You have to make a decision." And the dad went to the hospital, and I just found this out the day before yesterday. The dad went to the hospital and said, "How can I make a decision to pull the plug on my daughter? I can't do that. How do I know that her brain, there's no brain activity? How do I know she's brain dead? Because they put her in a medically induced coma because of the condition she was in. They took her out of that coma, and the dad didn't have to make the decision. God called her home. Look at the 600 men who have come home. Their families are gone. Everything that they have is gone. And what do they have to do? What did David as the leader do? He had to turn back to the Lord for his strength. Can't do it on his own. Cannot do it on his own. There's going to be times in our life when we go through those things that'll make us happy, put joy in our hearts. Then there will be times we find ourselves in dark places like David. When things look hopeless, what do? Give up? No. Quit? No. Be discouraged? Well, David did, and then he turned back to God, turned his reliance back to him. When things get tough, what do we need to do? Go to Him. Turn back to God. Go to Him. And I really do want to thank everybody that prayed, came down and prayed, because that's what we're doing. We're sending our petitions to God. If you look at the prayer sheet, for people's strength, for missionary strength, missionaries' needs, we're taking them before the throne of God and we pray. I thank those of you that pray for me, for my strength to continue and keep going. Sometimes when we drift a little, the Lord puts us in a spot where we have to turn back to Him. So we look at David's life, we see him in trouble. I mean, over and over and over, David just keeps getting himself in trouble. But he strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Then in verse 7 it says, "Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David." Remember, this is a real picture of Christ. Because the ephod had 6 stones here and 6 stones here, with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed on them, where did that burden carried? It was on the shoulders. It's a picture of Christ carrying us. We look in the New Testament at that lost sheep. When that lost sheep was found, what did that shepherd do? Put him on his shoulders and carried him. So when we can't go anymore, when we get so discouraged, so run down, we can't go anymore, who can carry us? No matter what it is, no matter what it is, God can carry us through that. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." David inquired of God. And guess what? God answered him. What do we need to do when we have problems? Take them to Him. And what do? Depend on Him to answer. Wow. What a novel concept. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you and me. Wow. And what an encouragement when David gets the answer. Surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And we'll finish this next week. We won't finish the book next week, but we'll finish this part. But without fail, recover all. You know what? There's nothing. Oh, wait. I think there's a verse that says nothing is impossible for God. God can take care of all the problems, all the cares that we have, if we just inquire of Him. And one of the things we got to do if we inquire, we got to take a moment and listen. Because so often we ask God for something and we fail to listen to His answer. I want to encourage you, and I know most of you, if not all of you, do continue to pray for our body here. Pray for, most of you got letters. Some of you left the letters. Some of you took them home and read them. I want to see God bless us. And He will. He will. We're going to got a little thermometer on the back wall back there, and as God brings in the funds for the project, the thermometer's going to get filled up, and when it bursts out the top, I think it'll be time for another party. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And man, what an example David is of someone who tried his path, figured out it didn't work, and went the right path, and God gave him what he wanted back. And we'll see that next week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your great love for us. Father, we thank you that you are our help in time of trouble. You are our strength when we are weak. Father, you're our guide. You've given us a roadmap for life. And Father, I just pray that as we seek your will and your direction, that Father, you will just continue to guide us, direct us. Father, cause us when we stray off of the path that you have us that we will be able to recognize that and turn back to you. And Father, we thank you for the example we see in David's life of how you faithfully continue to watch over him and protect him and be his guide. And Father, we just thank you for that and that you do that for us. And Father, now as we go out into our mission field, we pray for your guidance and direction this week, that Father, we might be able to share your love with someone that we come in contact with. And we pray this in your name. Amen.